the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. Amen. And we are so very glad. Amen. We're going to continue our series on questions as we want to talk about that. Is that me? Oh, he is an awesome God. Amen. Amen. Let me break the music. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Break the music. So we're asking, for those who haven't been here on Wednesday, what we're doing, we're having a question and answer session, but I kind of come in with the questions and then we learn all together about the things of God, questions that we may not have thought of. So here's a question, and I may say something a little controversial just a touch behind this question, but we'll see. Father God, as my sister, who's also my wife, prayed before you that I humbly and fully and completely, wholly, wholly, submit myself to the presence of the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. Yes. I am but a vessel, no more than electric wire. Electric wire no more carries electricity than anything else. It is not, rather, electricity. It simply carries. Electricity flows through the wires. And so I just want to be a conduit for your power and your might tonight.
Amen.
Use me to bless us in the holy, mighty, matchless name of Jesus. And let every heart say, amen.
Amen.
So a question was asked, how should Christians think about Muslims given the constant threat of Islamic terrorism? I asked that question, at a particular conference, and I love the first answer that one of the pastors gave. He said, our first thought shouldn't be potential terrorists. Because to do that is to put everyone in a certain box, stereotype. To be honest with you, I had never looked at it this way. We ought to be thankful that more Muslims are not engaged in jihad, which is a holy war, because the Quran certainly encourages that. I'm thinking, Lord, your grace is so ubiquitous, it's so all the time, we don't even know what to give thanks for. Mm-hmm. That's the grace of God, that more Muslims are not involved in holy war against Americans. But I also thought that that question is a question that a black person may look at as a little bit different way, in a sense, and I say that this is where the controversy may come in, because while we as black people, black Christians, and black people in America were horrified by 9/11, yet because of the atrocities committed to the people, black people, for over almost 300 years, that the in a sense, black people at certain times face the threat of terror. Mm-hmm. And that's a real question. I mean, that's a real response. It may be a bit controversial, but I think it addresses the point. Because I thought, when I thought of this question, the constant threat of Islamic terrorism, how should we respond? We're to respond just like black people ought to respond to white police officers. Everyone is not a terrorist. There are good white police officers. But the answer is the same. You don't want to stereotype everyone into one thing. What are we still to do? What are we still commanded by God to do?
Love.
Thank you. And she said it with force. Love. That's exactly right. We're not excused from that. Whether you are black and white Americans looking at Muslims, or black Americans looking at white police, or whatever it may be, we are still to walk in love. Yeah. And be thankful that it's not worse than what it is.
Amen.
Because the grace of God is always right there waving at us in a sense. Mm-hmm. Because where sin did abound, help me, come on somebody. Grace did much more about it. Oh, that's a hand raiser. It's Ma'am Glenda Jean. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Grace did much more about it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Looking back at my first time seeing Phyllis, see, since she had those two stents put in, grace did much more about it.
Amen.
That could have been a whole different story. Whole different story. And I thank God that here at Word of Life and at churches like Word of Life that still won't have it any other way but having the Word of God have the preeminence. We continue in doing that. We are continuing to learn about who God really is. Amen. And what he and what that allows, lack of a better term, allows him to do to us and through us is to continually show us his grace where we're not seeing it.
Amen.
Anyone who is a threat, you walk in love. You listen to the Holy Spirit on how you deal with that. And you learn not to stereotype folks all in one thing. Because I feel for the Arabs of in this America, because they're the new black people, in a sense. They're looked at sketchily, if you will, with a crooked eye, not being received. And then there's your darker people, like Indians from India, who look sort of like Arabs. They looked at a little funny. And we have those at our school, we have some Indians at our school who have. You know, we have those that may kind of look like that, and I make sure that I'm not part of that looking at you crooked because I understand how that feels. And I don't want to be a part of that. And we, as Christians, white or black, are not to get involved in that with that crooked eye look.
Amen.
Look of suspicion. You embrace until God tells you more. Hey, he is a terrorist. And get off the plane or run and go somewhere. You follow me?
Amen.
But our first thing to do is to walk in love. Our first thing to do is to walk in love because that's what we're commanded to do.
Amen.
And I tell you, the older I get in Christ Jesus, the more, speaking not older, yes, older I get in years physically, but the more I grow in Christ Jesus, the more thankful I am from the depth of my soul for the Word of God because it is the baseline truth.
Yes.
It has the answer. And I'm thankful. Once an ass is kicked out, thank you. We should be all settled. Now, you may be hard for you to accept that truth. Maybe hard for you to accept the true keyword there, but realize it's the truth. Okay, it's the truth. May take me a minute to get there, but that is what the Word of God said. Because what that does, it brings our feelings in line. Okay, how you feeling? Let's let the Word of God bring it in line. My attitude ain't right. Adjust my attitude.
Yes, Lord.
Bring it in line where it's acceptable in your sight.
Yes, Lord.
Because remember, arousals can be, you can be aroused with anger.
Yes.
Not just sexually aroused, but aroused in anger. Yes. You say, Lord, go back to that prayer. Mm-hmm. That the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart, and my affections, and my attractions, and my attention, my erotic interest, and my arousals be acceptable in your, let it all. And right now, I'm aroused in the wrong way right now because I done sink somebody and flipped me a whole nother way.
Yes,
and sink, when you in the hood, sink got a T on the end. I done sink somebody. I done seen them. And I'm mad. You know, and I don't know, you know, like y'all, you know, ladies who have been done wrong, and you know, you can start looking at all men in one kind of way. You know, just some type of way. You start feeling some type of way about the men. And it's like, okay, well, Lord, how should Christians think about men if I'm a female Christian, given the constant threat? See, right there, back there. So it's the same thing. Now, that's something the Lord brought that in. We weren't even going that route. But the Lord brought that in. Because we've been there. All men are dogs. No, all men are dogs. By the few of my, I'm sorry about to say that. And I don't care what ethnicity, what people group you're coming from. Sin is sin.
Amen.
But as Christians, followers of the Most High God, we have a responsibility. We don't have the right, just because we've been abused, and I'm not speaking to the choir here, to just hate all men, put all men, not give them men a chance. We still have to walk in love. And I know that may be hard for some situations, because I don't, if I just kind of glance at the crowd, I think some of you have been abused verbally and physically by men. But as your pastor, I can't, no kitchen, I can't punk out and say, well, you know, I understand. I said, I gotta tell you, the word of God says, you gotta walk in love. Because if I don't emphasize the word, that's not gonna help you. You may think you have the license to hate, but that's not. He said, oh, no man, anything what? But love. That's our first responsibility. Because stereotyping can come in various ways from various groups within society. Not just black, white, like to abuse women toward men. You know, maybe, you know, somebody black had a particular, you know, situation like when somebody white did to men, you want to hate all white people. You got to be careful with all that if you are a Christian, a child of God, because we are responsible to God to obey His word.
Amen.
And I'm telling you what, He's going to hold us responsible. Am I preaching to the choir? He's going to hold us responsible. He expects us. You know, we don't get a pass. Just because He graces us and doesn't, you know, do some things, we don't get a pass. He expects us. No matter how much we've been brutalized, whether it's black men by white police or whether it was, you know, Muslims with Americans, or whether it's husband or boyfriend brutalizing his mate, we still don't get a pass. Oh, preacher, come on. Give me a break. Can I have a little room to hate? I mean, you don't know what he did to me. Yeah, but that's not this dude over here. Ain't him. And quiet as it's kept, you even got to get to loving him too. You got to work on loving him too. Amen?
Amen.
Is that hard? Yeah.
Yes.
Didn't say it was. Never said it was. But are we still supposed to do it?
Yes.
Yeah. Y'all got testimony. I'm just looking out. Look at testimony. Y'all testimony about how you have walked in love to those who have brutalized you. I know two. It was Ms. Glenda and Ms. Palmer. I know there are probably others, but I know their testimony. Powerful. You know, like bruh man brutalized you, and here come bruh man's kid, and he all up in your class. What you gonna do, child of God? What are you called to do? Walk in love. Yeah. Then you get the blessing. Don't imprison yourself walking in sin. You next to where he is. Who knows son of man says what? Free is what?
Free
shall love. Really free. You'll know the truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. When you walk in the truth, then you walk in freedom. That would preach. Walk in truth, walk in freedom. Walk in untruth, lies, hatred, whatever, revenge, you walk in slavery. They then follow. We've answered this, you know, as image bearers. And I love that phrasing because we're made in His image. We bear the image of God. As image bearers, desiring to glorify Christ, how do we respond to terrorism and all of that? And we just said that we must love our enemies. We're not looking for easy. Our flesh is. But in reality, the real you, the spirit you, knows that I got to obey God, and that's not necessarily going to be easy. Sis talked about suffering on Sunday. Not going to be easy. Another question, totally different. We will be on this in the rest of this and probably next week. As a believer and also as a woman who is post-abortive, right? Had an abortion. How can we as a church combat against the mentality of some sins being too great or unforgivable? Sure. As a believer, and also as a woman who is post-abortive or who has had an abortion, how can we as a church combat against the mentality of some sins being too great or unforgivable? Okay, it's a woman who's post-abortive. How can we as a church combat against the mentality of some sins being too great or unforgivable? Because there can come a time where a woman who's had an abortion, God pricks her heart of that, she can think that's beyond forgiveness. You follow the question? And so, first of all, when you are starting to answer this, and remember, this is wonderful apologetics too, this really is. Remember, apologize means to be ready to give an answer. First of all, we as a church are called to call sin, sin. Everything starts with that. Now, what Satan can do is pervert your knowledge of that sin, pervert it, and make it so great that it appears to be beyond the scope of the power of God and the blood of Jesus to cleanse you of that sin. You follow that? He's the most subtle beast. Some, and we'll get to that part, who just no big deal, and some make it so big of a deal that it's even beyond the power of God. When the Word of God clearly said that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins except abortion. Didn't say that, right? Except suicide. And there's another one. But we are, first of all, called to recognize sin as sin. We know there's no sin that cannot be forgiven. Period. Romans 5:20 said, we talked about that, where sin abound, grace increases. No matter how great the sin, there's more grace than your sin.
Amen.
No grace is more powerful than your sin. Does that make sense? No sin is more powerful than grace. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. So where sin abounded or increased, grace did much more increase or abound. King James. That's good news, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's Romans chapter 5. Let's look at that. Is it verse 20? Yeah. Look at Romans 5. Let's look at that. And write these verses down, so when you talk to a young lady or talk to somebody who thinks that their sin is beyond what God can do, this is what you're going to show in these catalog of scriptures. Romans chapter 5, look at verse 20, and I'm reading out of the ESV. Verse 20, now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased or abounded, King James, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to, glory be to God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
So where the sin of abortion abounded, and it is a heinous sin, it is a monstrous evil, grace even abounds even more than that.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
That's what you tell the post-abortive young woman. Look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Again, we're answering the question, how do you combat the mindset that this is just too much? It's unforgivable. God will never forgive me. Look at James chapter 2. Look at verse 12. James 2 and 12. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law. For judgment is without mercy to one who has shown no mercy. Look at this. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What should the post-abortive mother receive? Judgment. But instead, they got mercy. Because no sin is beyond the mercy of God. No sin is beyond the grace of God. No sin is beyond the power of God to forgive. And you know this verse, went over that, turn while you're there, couple of books over. 1 John chapter 1, and look at verse 7. 1 John 1, 7. This one I use for suicide, it's one I use for any sin that you think is unforgivable. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That means past, present, and even future sins are cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your mercy triumphing over justice, judgment. Because he would be just in taking us out. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy. And these are some rich, rich scriptures to share with that young woman. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 12. My Lord. I mean, if anyone in the world would not have been saved, or that God would have passed over, we would have said Saul or Paul of Tarsus. Not that dude, because he was a terrorist. Oh my goodness. Look at verse 12. Did I tell you verse 12? Mm-hmm. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to be his slave, to his service rather. Though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. I think some have a violent aggressor. But I received mercy, because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost, or I am chief. So you think your abortion can outdo all of that? Not only were he's involved in multiple murders, brutal, violent. He was a violent aggressor. And if he can save the chief of sinners, he can save you. He can forgive you, rather. Oh, I'm in the right place.
Amen.
So you just take him to the word. You don't worry about nothing else. Just take him to the word. Glory be to God. Look at let's see. We'll go one more. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 18. That prayer, I think some of us know that prayer and probably have prayed it. Verse 18 and 19. We're going to start at 17. And it's a good prayer to pray for this person. This person. Really, verse 14, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father. This is his prayer, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named. That according to the riches of his glory, that person may, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner man. Right, that's a good prayer, right?
Amen.
Because you want to remove the guilt and the shame of the poor, of having an abortion. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Wow, that'd just remove all that up out of there.
Yes, thank you.
That's a great prayer to pray for someone.
Amen.
That's powerful. But it reaches all the way down to the very depths of that person. Romans 8:1. You know that one, right? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You can write that down. Romans 8:1. You can return to it. Put your eyes on it right quick. Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 1, yes. You can write these down. Micah, M-I-C-A-H, that's Old Testament, 7:19, Micah 7:19, it says there that he's taken our sins and put them where? In the depth of the sea. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
Micah 7:19, make sure that I got that right. Yeah, 19. He will, again, have compassion on us. He will treat our iniquities on, he will tread our iniquities on the foot. You will cast our iniquities into the depths of the sea. You will show faithfulness, steadfast love. That's what he does.
Amen.
That's Micah 7:19. Hebrews 10:17. Hebrews 10:17 is the last one. You can write that one down. I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin. He said, I will remember their sins and iniquities, their lawless deeds no more. However, the end of that question was this. It was a statement. Now, I did that on purpose. I didn't ask the full question. I asked that part, then I want you to focus on this too. So the first part was, I've had an abortion, I feel it's unforgivable. How do you deal with that? And you show them the word of God. Then, end of the question, she says, the most negativity and hatred I've experienced is inside my church walls. Most hatred and negativity I've experienced inside church walls. Now I'm going to come attack that two ways. Two ways. Now, the strongest display of disapproval, if you will, I'm using that word. The strongest display of disapproval toward abortion should be inside the church walls. Don't you hear what I'm saying now? The strongest display of disapproval. Hear that word. We're going to get to the hatred part because that part is not right. But disapproval part is 100% right. That's the problem with the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we're not disapproving of abortion. We've been conditioned by society to look at it as really no big deal. I was telling the dean of students yesterday, I said, you know, I said, you love, basically, paraphrasing Barack Obama, president, former President Obama. So, but he was the most pro-abortion president in the history of the presidency. He said pro-choice, I said pro-abortion. Pro-choice softens it. Pro-abortion in the history of the presidency. I'm talking about the Born Alive. I've told you that all that time. The Born Alive Infant Protection Act, you know, the abortionist doesn't kill the baby successfully and the baby is born anyway, you know, you can still kill the baby. That's the Born Alive Infant Protection Act. They tried to pass that so that the person did, the baby did come out, let the baby live. But he voted against it as a senator, and so I told you all of that. And he said, yes, but yet there's someone in the White House that's way worse than him. And so we had to go to lunch and so forth. So I came back to him. I said, you know, realize, and I'm going to get into these just a touch, about the getting ahead of myself a little bit, but realize that 56 million babies are aborted every year. 56 million. That's just a lot of murder. I said, hey, you should never say that. Because what we as black people dislike about Trump is related to race. And we let race fog us up so much that we're ignoring a Holocaust that's going on every year. And he said, he bowed down to it. He said, you know what? He said, I'll never do that again. Because that's murder. I said, at our church, we went through the ugliness of it. We talked about the 6 or 7 ways that babies are aborted. I said, they're tortured, they're dismembered. Never take that lightly. Racism is wrong. Believe you me, 56 million murdered babies every year worldwide. That's a Holocaust that's being accepted by governments all over the world. As a matter of fact, the medical profession is starting to refer to it as, at least over in various parts of Europe, as a medical procedure. That's all it is. We've evolved to this point where it's just a medical procedure. We don't even call it abortion anymore. And the one pastor said, I hope the strongest sense of disapproval about abortions that is ever experienced anywhere is inside the church. Abortion is a monstrous evil. A monstrous evil. We'll start with Father God. We do not want to fall into the category of people who's been duped by Satan, the god of this world, concerning this monstrous, gigantic, horrific evil. Abortion is out of control wickedness. Help us never to treat this mass murderer, these mass murderers, lightly, as if it's no big deal. Help us never to treat lightly, as if it's no big deal. Help us to see abortion for what it really is. I beg of you, because I still think, even in this room, we don't have the sense of the horror, the Holocaust. Even hearing these figures, it's just almost too much to really even can fathom. We need you to help us fathom 56 million per year. Over 600,000 in the United States alone per year. That's a lot of death of little people. Mm-hmm. And Father, next week, if it is your will, we're going to go through some of these stats. I believe you want us to never again think of it as just a medical procedure, or really ain't no big deal. When in reality, it is an affront to your glory and your grace. It is a direct affront, because an abortionist is saying, or a woman is saying, they don't know they're saying this, but you gave life, God, but I don't want it, and I'm gonna kill what you've given. We're sort of playing God ourselves. God gave us life, and I'm killing what God has done. That's a direct affront to your glory, because a child is born for your glory and your grace and your mercy. Prick our hearts in the name of Jesus. From now on, may we see it for the monstrous evil. May we see it for the Holocaust that it really is. 6 million Jews, plus 3 to 4 million other from the Third Reich, 20 million Africans just trying to get from Central Africa to the Western shores, millions more dying from the Western shores of Africa, the Eastern shores of the United States. But nothing tops abortion. The numbers are staggering. There were hundreds of thousands dying before Roe v. Wade was even passed in 1973. And then once it was passed, it shot straight up into the millions. Abortion is murder. Period. Help us to see it, Father. I pray right now for every doctor that's involved in abortion. I pray right now for every mother that is that has had one and deciding to have one, and that is having one even right now as we speak all over the world. There are probably, well, there have to be millions of mothers all over the world having abortions even as we speak. Those who are not saved, save them. All doctors involved, if they're not saved, save them, that they may come to the knowledge of the truth. And those who have had an abortion, I ask you to guilt them. Guilt them right into your kingdom, into eternal life. Nothing is too difficult for you. Me saying this out loud is way over what I can deal with. But thank God I ain't God.
Amen.
But you are God. You are the only wise God, our Savior. To you be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both right now and time, forevermore and eternity. We thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.